Hi, David here, and welcome back to the channel where we're looking at life in spirit through the automatic writings of the early 20th century medium, James Paget. In the last video, we looked at two messages Paget received from his cousin, Laura Burrows, which gave us a good example of the progress in spirit that can be made when we get the help and support we need. Making progress in spirit, or developing spiritually, is of course something that we're wise to start working at while we're still in this world. Those in spirit whose job it is to look after us know this full well. One of the things we see in the Paget messages is the extent to which James himself needed encouragement and support. It's easy to assume that someone receiving such wonderful communications from people in spirit would be endlessly enthusiastic about life. But the reality is that we're all human, and James had his times when he felt lonely, and many times when he doubted the reality of the messages he was receiving, or the identity of the people writing to him. We can see this in the first message we're looking at today, which is from Anne Rollins, James's grandmother, in which she reassures him and explains a little more as to the identity of those who write through him. This message was given on April 5, 1915. I'm going to read this message right through because it's fairly easy to follow and not too long. I am here, your grandmother. Well, I am glad to be with you again, as I want to tell you some truths that you will benefit by knowing. You have had more or less doubt pass through your mind as to whether we are really the persons whom we represent ourselves to be, or whether it is your own mind producing the thoughts and writings, or whether some evil spirit or imposter does. I want to tell you now, with all the love which I have for you, that every one of us who writes you is the person he or she represents himself or herself to be. And no spirit who seeks to impose on you is permitted to write or in any way communicate with you. Our band is sufficiently powerful to prevent any such spirit from intruding himself upon you. Of course, the unfortunate spirits who write you, we permit to do so. However, they are not imposters, but they tell you truthfully who they are. I know how natural it is for you to doubt this great marvel of spirit communion and of the truthfulness of our representations, but I assure you that it is all true. The Master is the one whom you have read about in the Bible and of whom you have heard about all your life, the only difference being that he is not God, but a spirit, the greatest in all the celestial heavens. He is not so very different in his desire to do the great work which God gave him to do, and what he did do when on earth, except that he is now more highly developed than when a man travelling the plains and mountains of Palestine. So you must not doubt any longer, or you will not develop as you should. He is the wisest and most filled with God's love of all the spirits in the celestial spheres. I know that you love us all, and I believe that you love him also. And when I tell you that his love is greater than that of any of us, I am telling you what is true. I would like to write more tonight, but there are some others here who are very anxious to write to you, and I will stop. Your own true and loving grandmother. Throughout this message, you can see Anne really pressing home the point that James needs to trust in what he is doing. The great challenge that people in spirit face with everyone they try and contact is that any evidence they try and give us as to who they are or of what they say has to come from their side of life. It's a bit like one of us telephoning the bank to conduct an item of business, querying a transaction on our account, for example. The bank makes us jump through various hoops, security questions, before they accept we are who we say we are. The bank member of staff can never be absolutely sure. It's just that they have a procedure for testing us that lets them be sure enough to go ahead. When we get a message through a medium, we do the same to people in spirit, which gives you an idea of how tricky and frustrating for them it can be. They wait ages for a chance to get through, sitting in a queue, and then get a series of security questions fired up, with us expecting answers they've possibly long since forgotten because they're years old and perhaps weren't very memorable in the first place. Communication always requires an element of trust, and this is what Anne Rollins is trying to develop in James. To be fair to James, it is a bit challenging when your grandmother in spirit tells you that she has met Jesus and that he's not quite who or what she expected him to be. When I first came across the Paget messages, I found this aspect of the messages a real stumbling block. One of the things I used to wonder about is why Jesus and other New Testament figures might be interested in spending time with Paget's immediate family members, and why they feature so often in the messages, along with these much older and more advanced spirits. The reason, of course, is quite simple. Like so many communications we receive from people in spirit, the communications from James's family members are there to provide him with the personal support and encouragement he needs, as well as giving him the evidence he needs to trust that the messages are real. These are the people who give him the answers to his security questions. James can test his family members because he knows them. It's on the back of the trust this builds up that the messages from others in spirit stand a chance of being accepted by Paget, and by extension, the rest of us who might read the messages in time to come. When James reads a message from his grandmother saying that she has met Jesus, he is able to rely upon the word of someone he knows and trusts, even as what she says is challenging. When I first started reading the Paget messages, I received a message through another medium from my own grandmother, telling me that there's a book you're reading just now. She absolutely insists there's everything you need in this book. She cannot emphasize this strongly enough. The medium did not seem to have any information as to what the book was, and I certainly didn't say. But it was in fact Alan Ross's selection of Paget messages compiled as the New Testament of Spiritualism. So like James Paget, I received confirmation, one among others, about the Paget messages from someone in spirit whose identity I can verify. Interestingly, it was my mum's mum, so she stands in the same relationship to me as Anne Rollins does to James. Anyway, James gets pushed a bit further by his grandmother in a message a few weeks later, dated May 13, 1915, when she tells him about when she first met Jesus, including a description of his appearance. "I am here, your grandmother." At this point, James seems to have asked how she is. "I am happier than I can tell you. I am living in my home, and it is beautiful beyond the possibility of description. Tonight, I want to tell you of my experience in seeking the love of God, and in realizing that he loves me with a love that knows no shadow of wavering or cessation." I was not always filled with faith or believed so implicitly in prayer. But in my early married life, I received the conviction that if I were to be happy in life and fitted to receive the blessings which the Bible promised to those who should seek the Lord and his love, I must see the necessity of seeking. And I, with all the earnestness of my nature, commenced seeking for the divine love. And as a result, I found it, and with it, a great happiness and peace. You know what my spiritual condition was in my later years on earth, and how my faith was such that although I was nearly deaf and blind, yet I was happy and joyful. Well, when I came to the spirit world, I brought that faith and love with me, and I found that it was just as real here as it had been on earth. Of course, in some of my beliefs, I was mistaken, such as my belief that Jesus was God and that his death and blood saved or could save me from sin and damnation. But notwithstanding my mistakes in these particulars, my love for God was not interfered with, and I continued to live in that love and was happy. I had not been in the spirit world for a great while before spirits of a higher order than myself came to me and told me many wonderful things of God's kingdom, and that my progress to the higher spheres would depend upon my receiving more of this divine love in my soul and becoming more at one with God. The first time I saw Jesus was after I had been in the third sphere a short while, and when I met him, he impressed me as being the most beautiful and loving spirit that I had ever seen. When he told me that he was Jesus, I, of course, was somewhat surprised, because I had believed that he was in the heavens, sitting on the right hand of God, as I had been taught on earth to believe. When Jesus saw my surprise, he looked on me with a wonderful love and said that I must not believe further that he was God, accepting the worship of men, for he was a spirit as I was, and was still working among mortals and spirits to lead them onto the light and the way to God's love. At first, I confess, it was difficult for me to believe this, and I had my doubts. But his manner of speaking to me and the wonderful love that he displayed, not only for me, but for all humanity, soon convinced me that he was the true Jesus and not an impostor. Afterwards, I met many spirits who knew him and had been his followers for many years, and they told me that he was the Jesus of the Bible, and I could not do anything else but believe. And now, after my long years of association with him and feeling his ministrations of love and the influence of his greatness, I know that he is the true Jesus, who, by his teachings and overwhelming love, saves men from their sins by showing them the way to God's kingdom. So, my dear son, do not doubt what I tell you now in reference to this matter or what I have already told you. At this point, James, unsurprisingly, seems to have asked what Jesus looks like. Anne replies, "Well, it is somewhat difficult to describe his appearance, but I will try. He is of a commanding figure, as you say, on earth. His features are regular, and his eyes are of a deep blue, almost a purple blue, with such depths of love in them that under its influence you almost forget to note the colour of his eyes. The hair is a beautiful brown, worn long and parted in the middle, so that it falls over his shoulders. His nose is straight and somewhat long, with nostrils very refined and showing the artistic elements in his nature. He wears a beard, quite long, and very silky and brown like his hair. His manner is grace itself and modesty personified, and yet in him is the intensity of feeling which can show itself in just indignation when the occasion requires. And yet, with all the great beauty of his person and the greater love of his soul showing itself, he is very humble more so than any spirit I have seen. I have given you a bare outline of his appearance, and you will never fully realise in your mind's eye just what his appearance is, and only when you come over and meet him will you truly understand the appearance of the most wonderful and beautiful and loving spirit in all God's universe. Someday this will happen, and you will not have the doubts that I had, and your heart will go out to him from the first moment of your meeting. My dear son, it is a greater privilege than you can appreciate, so be prepared to meet your friend and teacher, for he is your friend to a degree that is beyond what I thought he would ever be while you are on earth. So you see, my experience was a somewhat exceptional one, and the one secret of its being so is that I received great faith and the love of God while I was on earth. While the teachings of many preachers are that the earth is the only place of probation, that teaching is not correct. Yet, if it were believed more, and humankind prepared their future in view of that belief, many a mortal, when he becomes a spirit, would avoid experiences that are very unpleasant, and which retard his progress in the spirit world. Of course, such a belief that the earth is the only place of probation, when the mortal fails to make the preparation, will work him great injury when he becomes a spirit, because such a belief is difficult to get rid of. And as long as it lasts, the spirit is very apt to believe that his status is fixed forever. Hence, he will not progress until he accepts the truth. So you see, after all, the only good belief is a belief in the truth, which never changes. Probation is not confined to the earth life, but is with mortals and spirit alike. In fact, it never ends, for each preceding condition of a spirit is nothing more than a probationary condition to what follows. This great probationary condition undoubtedly is that which exists for the mortal while on earth, and if that probation is accepted and made the most of, the spirit gains an advantage which is beyond my ability to describe. Sometimes men do not attempt to take full advantage of this probation on earth, and come to the spirit world in all their material thoughts and sins, their souls dead, and will find that in such condition, as spirits, they will have a much more difficult time to awaken from such condition and progress. I am informed that some spirits have been in this world for many, many years and have not yet had an awakening. So you must see the importance of taking advantage of the earth probation. Well, dear son, I have written a great deal and must stop now, though I should like to write you a much longer time. So with all my love, I will close and sign myself your loving grandmother, Anne Rollins. In talking about probation, Anne is making the point that every day of our lives is a test of who and what we are. Putting it another way, every day, whether in this world or the next, is an opportunity to develop spiritually. So a fascinating message, which is well worth going over again. As always, in case you listen to it as a podcast, the Podbean link is in the video description. And if you prefer to read it through, the link to the transcript of this video on my Medium account is also in the video description. Despite his grandmother's best efforts, James's doubts seem to have crept back in. So in the next video, we're going to look at a message from July 1915, a few weeks later, when a whole host of different people come forward to create a kind of collective testimony as to who they are and why James should trust what they say. So I hope you'll join me for that. In the meantime, if you've enjoyed this video, like it and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, as it does help to introduce it to others who might be interested. And make sure you click on the bell icon so you get notified when the next video is uploaded. At the moment, there are two a week on Wednesdays and Sundays. So take care until then. And as ever, thank you for watching and I'll see you soon. Take care.